Chapter 3, How to Make Phenomenal Money. A couple years ago, I began mentoring an at-risk kid at an elementary school through a program called Kids Hope. My mentee began attending our church, and one Sunday afternoon, he and his grandma came to our house for a swim in the pool. My wife and I are blessed to live in a very nice, very large custom home. As we were swimming in the pool, he blurts out, "I didn't know you were rich." It caught me by surprise, and I felt a little embarrassed and uneasy. Not knowing exactly what to say, I responded with, "Rich is relative." And after thinking about it, I think it's true. The fact is that compared to some people in the world, he's rich. Bringing up the subject of money triggers all sorts of weird emotions. Everyone seems to want more of it, but can't stand those who have it. Like me, you may have felt a little uneasy when I shared the story about my mentee. Most people feel that they need more money, but aren't good with it once they get it. As our cash flow increases, we just get more stuff. A television commercial from a few years ago said it best. The spot opens with a happy guy with a grin so big he could eat a banana sideways. He brags about his big yard, his big house, his new car, and even his country club membership. Looking into the camera, he says, "How do I do it?" "I'm in debt up to my eyeballs," he confesses. And then he whispers into the camera, "I can barely pay my finance charges." I can relate. I lived like that for a long time. I used what I call the Elvis Presley accounting method. Elvis would buy a stranger a Mercedes without giving it much thought. As the bills piled up, his stepfather Vernon and wife Priscilla complained. He said, "Don't worry, we can just get another gig." And it was true. His manager, Colonel Tom Parker, could pick up the phone and generate $1 million in an instant. When I wanted something, I just bought it. It didn't matter how much it was. I had a lot of credit cards with big limits, and I was good at generating revenue. Like Elvis, I figured there was no limit to the amount of money I could generate. I've been blessed to know how to do that, and I'm going to share that secret with you. But before too long, the debt increased, the interest grew, and the payments began to mount. Before I owned a business, I never really had much money to speak of. But when you learn how to generate cash in your business and you become more confident in your ability to increase sales, you're tempted to take more risk. As our overhead grew and it became more difficult to make the payments, we maxed out our lines of credit and started paying ridiculous credit card rates. Something had to give. Fortunately for me, the grace of God was waiting for me. I didn't have to face a financial meltdown. And my wife is good at making money and saving it. She's amazing. In the early days, we used savings from her paychecks to make payroll. I shudder to think what my life would be like without God and my wife. I found some really good financial consultants, and my good friend and business partner, Scott Zack, helped me to realize that following Dave Ramsey's philosophy of being debt-free and operating from a healthy profit would serve me much better. I'm a very generous person, and kind of like Elvis, I like to give money away. I love to bless people. When I was deep in debt, I still gave as much as I could, but when your giving becomes limited to what you can put on a card, it's sad. The more interest I paid, the less I could help others. Now understand that we were still investing in our 401k, my wife was investing faithfully, and we were tithing. So we weren't destitute or poor, just not enough cash flow to handle the commitments. Then there's the whole tax issue. You've got to either pay a whole lot of income tax or buy stuff for the business. So we bought lots of trucks, equipment, and things like that to lower our tax burden, while at the same time trying to maximize tax-deferred stuff like 401k to reduce the tax burden. I refinanced my home and commercial building and took the equity out. I like to spend money, too. There's a lot I want to do and have in life. I wanted to get all the dream now, and my flawed thinking was to finance the dream. Get everything you need now, pay for it later. I didn't really understand how much was going out in finance charges and how it was actually stealing my dream. It's no way to live. There's no freedom in it. Living a phenomenally successful life doesn't have room for undue stress. When your financial life is like a loose cannon rolling around on deck, you don't know what's going to get blasted next. Most divorces are caused by money problems. Many relationships are destroyed because of money issues. So I became willing to change. I began to change my thinking about money. I began to change my thinking about debt. And I can tell you that because of that, my businesses have become much more profitable and effective. There's more freedom personally. I can help more people too. How I value other people has served me well, even in this area of life. No matter how hard it was, I paid everyone I owed. Little by little, the debt went down, and then I got phenomenally profitable. It's a great feeling. This chapter is about making phenomenal money. The question is, how much is phenomenal? It may be one thing to me and another to you. How much money should you make? You might be surprised at my answer. You should make the amount of money that you are supposed to have. Remember that the financial area of your life is one of the important spokes on the wheel of life. Your vision for your life is your calling, your purpose. So how much money is required to fulfill that vision? When you figure out what your life goals are and what you are supposed to do in life, you'll know how much money you're supposed to have. I believe that's one of the reasons people don't have more money to work with. They don't know how much money they're supposed to have. Most people simply take what they get and hope that some more drops in their life. They wish they would win the lottery, get a better job, or that some miracle would happen. The hard lesson that I've learned is that first you've got to figure out how much you need to fulfill your vision, and you've got to go get it. When you get it, you've got to keep the amount you're supposed to keep, use the amount you're supposed to use, and give the amount you're supposed to give. So let's talk about you and your money. In coaching hundreds of small business owners and interacting with thousands, I'm amazed how many owe back taxes, their home is about to be foreclosed upon, and they're hanging by a financial thread. Many of them have every kind of money problem you can imagine. They're dreading the drop of the proverbial second shoe. I owe, so off to work I go, is the motto. To make matters worse, they don't know how to make money. So this chapter is really about making money. How to make phenomenal money. That's if you're supposed to make phenomenal money. No matter the amount of money you're supposed to have access to, whether it's large or small, I think it would be phenomenal if you hit that mark, don't you? If you're deep in debt, start following the Dave Ramsey philosophy. There's no freedom in debt. The next step is to determine how you value money. Our values surrounding money are exactly like all the other values we've picked up like germs off the street. Often they're emotional, irrational, senseless feelings that have no basis in truth. Every person on the planet has a money consciousness that's been bred over their lifetime, just like every other unchecked value. A phenomenally successful life is about checking every belief you have to determine whether it's true or not. The same goes for how you value money. T. Harv Eker's book, Secrets of a Millionaire Mind, does a good job of explaining this. Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad series also does a good job of explaining how money works and how to make it work for you. Now, please understand that as a person of faith, you want to trust God for everything. Much of our conflict comes from avoiding the love of money, and when you're successful and blessed, people will accuse you of that. God will lead you to know what you're supposed to do, which will lead you to know how much you're supposed to have. By the same token, you have to act on what you're supposed to do. If God is leading you to do something and you just sit around waiting for God to do what you are supposed to do, it ain't going to work. Too often we wait around on God when he's saying, go. Can you keep a lot of it for retirement and go on vacation, etc.? I think so. But I'm not the one to tell you how much money is enough for you. I can only tell you that there is an amount that you are supposed to have because there are specific things you are supposed to do in your life. It took a lot of money to keep Gandhi poor. Jesus didn't own anything, but money was used to run the ministry. But Jesus didn't have a mortgage. If you're deep in debt and you can barely pay your finance charges like the guy in the TV spot, you need to make more money or you've got to unload some stuff. I don't think owing everyone in the world because you're avoiding the love of money is very spiritual. That's not very phenomenal. So you've got to figure out what you're supposed to do in life so that you will know how much money you are supposed to have. How to make phenomenal money. Now that you understand that you need to generate money for specific purposes, the best way to make phenomenal money is to own a phenomenally successful business. Notice I didn't say own a business. I said a phenomenally successful business. As you'll hear in the next chapter, there is a difference. Too many people who own businesses have become prisoners of the business and they're broke. If you're going to go broke, at least enjoy it. Go to the beach, sit on your back porch and sip tea. But to be stressed out and work 24/7 and go broke is no way to live. It's not very phenomenal. Sure, many of them love what they do, and from the outside it looks glamorous, but the truth is they're miserable. But the prospect of working for someone else isn't even an option. So they just put their head down and continue on the hamster wheel. So if you're in business, or you take my advice below to at least start a part-time business, do yourself a favor and admit what you don't know about business and be willing to change. The next chapter will help you a great deal. Please understand that I'm not saying you can't make phenomenal money in a job. There are plenty of folks that have phenomenal jobs. If they're smart with their money and they enjoy the overall benefits their job brings, go for it. But if you want to get yourself in a position to make money without having to work a job, then there may be a business for you. But you must begin to think like a business owner rather than an employee. Maybe you have a job, but you're not ready to become a full-time entrepreneur. A part-time business or a business that you have others run for you might be the right fit. You may be loathing the idea of owning a business. You may be fearful of owning your own business. But remember, fear is most often not based on fact. You may just be unaware of how to go about doing it. One of the things you'll learn as a phenomenally successful person is not to worry about the how as much as the what and the why. Here's an example. You need to increase your income by a certain amount. That's the what. Because you aren't making enough to cover your bills. That's the why. There are many ways, the how, to do it. Strategies and ideas are a dime a dozen. But action and courage are lacking. So if you have a big why, you want to send your kid to college, you want to make a difference in the world, or you're just tired of being broken in debt, then a phenomenally successful business is for you. Here are three suggestions for you. My son is going to Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas this year and his soon-to-be dorm mate joined us for a week at our condo in Florida. He expressed some interest in owning his own business, so I shared with him that I would look in three directions if I were him. Number one, a service business. The first business I started is a service business. I started out of the trunk of my car. Rather than sitting at home in the evenings or on your days off, you could be generating hundreds of dollars per hour. With technology today, some leadership skill, a little business savvy, you can even get others to do the work for you. Speaking of college students, what great, smart, part-time, no-benefits employees they can be. 1-800-GOT-JUNK was started with one pickup truck. How much investment is required to pick up junk? None. Now the company bills $100 million in revenue. The company collects a 17% royalty, which means it rakes in $17 million in annual revenue. The second option is a network marketing business, also known as multi-level marketing. This is a business that has a direct sales force that is made up of independent distributors that sell the product and recruit others to get paid. Wait a minute, I can hear you saying. You mean kind of like a pyramid scheme? Unfortunately, the network marketing industry is absolutely rampant with those with a lot of zeal and not much wisdom on how they approach prospects. Typically, they burn through friends and family with a lot of pressure, making people feel uncomfortable. The worst part is that those who could make a lot of money with network marketing never get the opportunity because they assume that somehow it's wrong. Network marketing is a legitimate business model, maybe one of the most ingenious models ever created. Why? Because you can get started with a cell phone and an internet connection, something that many 10-year-olds have today, and a few dollars and you're in business. You don't need employees, equipment, or a building. You can live wherever you want and work around a job, babysitting, school, or whatever occupies your time. What you need to be successful, regardless of the type of business you start, you need customers and you need a product or service. If you're not willing to learn how to find customers and understand how to communicate the benefits of a service or product, you aren't going to be successful. Go back and think about your dreams, goals, and vision from chapter one. If making more money could help you reach that, wouldn't it be worth getting out of your comfort zone to learn how to build a business? When I started my first business at age 23, I knew nothing about running a business. I had a heart to serve and to be the best. Do you? That's all you need. You can learn the rest. In fact, in the next chapter, you'll get some insights. The next chapter is mainly written for those who already have a business. I hope it doesn't scare you off because most small business owners become slaves to their businesses, but you can avoid that altogether. My favorite network marketing business is Send Out Cards at sendoutcards.com. Send Out Cards is a greeting card business that allows you to choose a greeting card online, and they print it and mail it through the U.S. mail in a plain white envelope. It looks handwritten, but you don't have to stuff and mail it yourself. Everyone seems to agree that sending thank you cards, anniversary, birthday, and Christmas cards is important, but few actually implement. This is especially important for business owners and sales professionals. There are a few things that really set Send Out Cards apart that you can't get with any other service. The biggest benefit is you can make money while making a difference. Here are the benefits of Send Out Cards. Number one, choose from 16,000 greeting cards. Number two, this is not an online card. They send it through the mail. Number three, you can use handwritten fonts. Number four, you can even upload your own handwriting. Five, upload your signature as well as three other signatures, maybe you and your spouse, your family, or company signature. Number six, upload pictures from your computer into the card. Number seven, create your own card from any picture on your computer with ease. Number eight, automatic reminder for birthdays and anniversaries. Number nine, mail one card to as many people as you want, and each card is personalized. Number 10, it's easy to upload your contact list. Number 11, create groups so that you can send cards to specific groups. Number 12, create multi-card sequential cards. For example, let's say you have a new client campaign. That campaign educates your clients, patients, members, or volunteers. Number 13, send gifts along with the cards, gift cards such as Starbucks, Home Depot. You can send chocolates, cookies, and send out cards, famous brownies, as well as many gourmet foods, books, audio CDs, gifts for the home, men, women, etc. One of the things that you'll learn about me is that I'm recognized worldwide as an expert on something called relationship marketing. All of business and all of life is really about relationships. Building positive relationships starts with caring, and caring starts with giving. Personalized, meaningful greeting cards and gifts are a phenomenal way to do that. I call Send Out Cards the greatest marketing tool of all time because of what it can do. In 2009, I personally sponsored more people than the 25,000 distributors Send Out Cards had at the time. I know how to sell, and I made a significant amount of money with Send Out Cards. I still get nice checks just about every week. But I didn't make as much as I could have, and not nearly as much as you can. I could have made a lot more money with Send Out Cards. Why? Because I didn't build a team. Those who are making millions of dollars per year in network marketing do it by building a team. That may sound scary at first, but it's not that hard. My intention is still to build a team with Send Out Cards, so you can be on my team and we'll work together. When you join Send Out Cards, you will need a sponsor ID, and my ID is 7162. At this moment, as you're evaluating this idea, you may be tempted to immediately dismiss it because you have no basis of fact. The habit of dismissing something totally on emotion is one that you will want to overcome to become a phenomenally successful person. Get the facts first, seek to understand, then make your judgment. I used to think the same thing, by the way. Now I know that people are making fortunes in network marketing. Number 3, information marketing. The third suggestion is to start a business in the information marketing field. People are looking for all types of information online: how to start a business, how to learn piano, or how to train a dog. Once you learn how to capture the people who are searching the terms, you can then offer them a product or service they're looking for. The best part is that you don't even have to create the information yourself unless you want to. There are plenty of experts on the subject of choice that already have the product or service that are more than willing to pay you when you refer someone. You don't have to be the expert. Think about Oprah. What is she an expert at? Nothing that comes to mind, but she is an expert at finding experts and generating an audience. But don't worry, you don't have to be the next Oprah. You can start out very small. You can put up a nice little blog and open a PayPal account, and you're ready to make money. Find something you're really passionate about. Search some terms on the internet. When you find someone who has a great product, service, or valuable information for sale, contact them to see if they'll pay you a commission. Now all you have to do is learn how to get traffic, and that's a skill that can be learned. You may wonder why I recommend starting a business instead of just working harder or longer. If you have the opportunity to take a second job or earn more money working, by all means do it. But you are trading labor for dollars, and that's not how you make phenomenal money. If you are supposed to have phenomenal money, you may or may not be able to generate it working a job. If you already have a business that's not phenomenally successful, we'll see if we can help you fix that. I'll get into the strategies of building a phenomenal business in the next chapter, but this chapter is about money. Phenomenal money. Once you know how much you are supposed to have, you've got to understand how to get it.